Welcome to Module 3 of the Wind Mastery Program. And this is the more of the beginning of the year type of program because we want to get our year organized. And by this point, we should have the vision map, the vision compass you see here is mine. And we're going to use that for the basis of explaining what's going on in this process so that you can really start to see how that can reflect back to you, your own questions and your own work with this. And then there'll be a couple of opportunities and people can email me if they're in doubt or come over to the community university wall and share, because I, for one, learn so much when I see other people's maps and other people's questions. And what I notice in the group is that that we tend to have similar questions and similar areas that we're working in at the same time. And maybe that's just the nature of what's up collectively, but I also think that we can learn so much from other people's processes as well. At the end of today's call, I'm actually going to call in the wind that I'm going to work with for the year. And it's just going to give you an example of how you personally can call in that wind for yourself, but it will be also an exercise that we'll do a journey and see if there's something more that's left to be revealed to us. So I wanted to talk about this vision map process as a review, because this is the last time in a certain way that I'll be talking about this vision map process, because the reason that we do this process is to really discover how we create in our lives each and every single time. And I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised when you get to see where we're going with all of this and wonder, boy, that's an interesting way to get here. And it's a very interesting process. I don't know about you, but it's been really working me because I've been doing it along. So what we did was I suggested that we make a circular vision compass. And as you know, one group member pointed out, I said, there's no wrong way to do this. So that's kind of a catch-22 situation, as you'll see later on in today's call, like about how you created yours. How did you go about and create your vision compass? Did you pick out that one line and then go off in a different way? And again, there is no right or wrong way, because what this does is it reveals about your individual wind dynamic of creativity that primarily shows up in your life. And once you have access to that information, you can really start to look at how you create, where you fall short in your creations, how that you might be able to use another dynamic to assist you when you get to that stuck place or that place where you know that you're going too fast or you need to slow down. You can start to work with these winds and call upon other wind dynamics to help you. And so what we did was, after we created that compass, and one of the things that I learned was that I was trying to simplify a process. That's because my dynamic tends to be a little bit more chaotic, a little bit all over the place. So I thought in my best that I was simplifying a process. And what I saw was it didn't really matter, because what is the most important part of this process is intention. And so when we have an intention that we're creating a vision map, and then we're going to deconstruct the vision map, whether you cut it equally, not equally, you made it square, you made it round, the whole process was that you intended to engage this process of vision mapping and creating a compass that could help show you the places where you needed to do work in your life this year. And then, trust me, the wind came in and did its own work. You can laugh there if you want, because I know that that's always the case. And yet, each and every time, I think that I have some magic wand or that I can control it in any given way. So what happened then was, so we had our vision compass, we cut it into four, and then we started to work with each quadrant. One of the only things that I could say is that have a tendency to ask a question and then try to answer the question. But the goal of this wasn't to ask a question and then answer the question. It was to ask a question, which would lead to another question, which would lead to another question, which would lead to a final question. And that just happened for me. And it just, the process kind of revealed itself to me originally. But this questioning process, which we're going to talk a little bit more about later, is a really great way to move forward in your life. So once we had a quadrant and we were working with it, and we'll go through mine, we decided we were going to call in a wind spirit card, and then we were going to spend time in nature with each quarter. So one quarter I'd take on my wind walk every night. The next quarter went to the beach with me. The next one went on the wind walk again. I'm not sure about for you, but for me, they were all connected. Each final question led me to where the next direction was that I was going to work with and the next questions. All right. And then I filled out the deconstruction worksheet, but I would suggest doing it as you go, because this morning it was a lot of work figuring out, you know, what all the wins were and what all the questions were. So if you do it as you go, it's way easier. And I know a lot of you are still on your earlier quadrant, so trust me, do it as you go. And I just made a much nicer worksheet today that I'll send out once it's ready. And then once you have one quadrant remaining, you're going to not dispose of this quadrant, but you're going to work with it to learn how to ask better questions of your year. So what is this asking a better question? It's just like, you know, because especially that there's these questions, and I want answers. I don't want questions. The truth be known that as you, questions are a powerful tool for unlocking valuable information. And we start to develop our skills of intuition, our trust. All of these things happen when we start to ask better questions. And it unlocks learning, improves your self-knowledge. So there's, according to a Harvard study, there's four types of questions: the introductory, the mirror, the full shift, and the follow-up. Well, I kind of had that process going into each quadrant. Like, and here I'm looking for a question. Well, that's my introduction. How am I going to work with this? And then the piece started to mirror back information to me, and then I don't know about you, but a lot of times then the next question was absolutely unrelated to the two or three introductory mirroring questions. And then I ended up with a follow-up question. So naturally I went into this four type of questioning, and then I left myself with a follow-up question in each and every quadrant, which we're going to go over. And then the other part about the questioning is when you're asking a question to somebody else, you know, I was tired after being at a conference all last week. So my list of what was great was really nice, but then my list of what could have been improved was brutal. Earth scorching, as somebody would like to say. And I know, now I know enough to know that when I'm in tired mode, I can earth scorch, and I try to stay away from that. And, you know, I even sent it to somebody else and asked, you know, how I could better, you know, give these responses. So that same tone, how do you work with yourself? How do you speak to yourself in the process of this work? You know, do you sit there and tell you, I'm not doing it right, I'm doing this wrong, you know, I'm not getting the other questions, other people are doing it, look at, they're already on 3 and 4 and I'm only on 1, you know, and instead of, can I come to this process in awe and wonder? Can I say, wow, this is a study of the self, and let me do this the way that myself wants to do it? Because as you're going to learn later in today's call, that all goes into your dynamic wind. And so we're going to look at how you came to this process and how you moved away from it, how you moved back from it, and how you came back into it, because those are the way you do this is the way you do everything. And you're going to find that the what you can learn here in this small group, this focus group of this time capsule, is that you'll get to see how you create in the world and how you move forward with any undertaking, whether it's business, personal, relationships and stuff. It just works that way. And one of the other parts of this is, you know, to ask yourself the tough questions. And sometimes it's really, really hard to ask ourselves the tough questions. Like, I was sharing this process with somebody I know, and they turned around and asked me a tough question that I was like, you know, it took me back. And I'm there like, and you know, once I realized, okay, this was part of all of this dynamic going on in this particular thing, that, wow, that was really the stronger, better question. So that doesn't mean like go out on the street and ask people, anyone. But if you have a close, significant partner in your life or somebody you really trust who really knows you well, you can tell them your process and tell them where you are and see if they can see that question even a little bit better than you in that moment. Because, you know, we have blocks and we only want to ask ourselves the question that we can feel comfortable sitting on the edge of the cliff with. But if you really want to jump over that cliff and really get into that deeper, more probing question, then sometimes it helps to ask a trusted advisor. And you want to keep these questions open-ended, because our goal here of the Wind Mastery is not to answer your questions, but it's about learning how to adjust with the wind so that you can get sailing to wherever it is you need to be going. And we don't necessarily always know where that is. Oh, how did that get back there? So as you can see, I was working on these slides today. So again, questions, you get better as you go. It's a powerful tool for unlocking valuable information. As a salesperson that I am with, I'm really great at sitting down and asking people powerful questions. Like last week, I was talking to this man who was in this business, and I knew nothing about his business. But by the end of the lunchtime conversation, not only did I know a little bit about his business, I assured him that he could fit in nice at the next conference with a table, because if I didn't know anything about his business, other people didn't know about his business. What he was doing was unique. So it's a really great way of meeting somebody. You meet somebody in the elevator, you have poignant questions that reveal more about them, and not things that I shared a video that it's not things that necessarily you already know or can find online, but a real thoughtful question goes a long way towards creating a new valuable relationship. You know, knowing what your emotional intelligence is, for example, knowing that I'm really tired, knowing that it's better not to tell people what was wrong with the conference, but just leaving that to something else and moving on to somewhere I could be more valuable. Sometimes knowing when not to ask the hard questions is as valuable as knowing. Oh, good. Bridget's going to be on the edge with me too, because mine is a real scary question for me. For me, it's like taking me to the edge. You want to learn? This is a learning process. All right. So one of the questions that I'm going to leave you with your homework is what is the most useful question that I can ask to unlock new beliefs and ideas that I'm not seeing at this very moment? And that goes into the next parts of the homework. The answer is in the question. Stop looking for the answer and hone down your questions. It's representative of what you really want to know, and you can shape it and sculpt it. I already mentioned you could ask a friend. So I thought that it would be helpful for me, and just tell me if it's not, to share my process of what happened for me as I went. And so this will give you some ideas, especially if those who are still, there's a lot of people still who are only a little bit way in it. Don't feel, that's okay, because some of the people who are further along in it did it this process last year. And so they already know a part of it, where they're going. So those of you who aren't, you're right where you need to be. So my compass when I cut it was not aligned. It wasn't the west was over there. It was fully northwest, and there were some of the south feeding into it, and there were some of the north heading towards the north, and it was that this it was one of the only few words on my whole thing of colors. And then the question I started with was, what would a new vision of success look like? And then the second question, which led me down the road, was, how would I have to grow or change? And so I really believe these are building blocks upon each other, as you'll see when we get to that final piece about this. So if I go from there, how would I grow or change? And, you know, Big Omai is about signs. And so how do I start to look for signs? Well, it was really funny because the only other words on here was just add water. And it was clearly the next piece I was taking, and it went to San Diego to the beach with me for the week. And trust me, I did not plan that. It was just funny because I'm just there like, well, what if I just add water? What happens when I just add water? And so these questions, as you can see, when I went from that question of asking what would need to change, all of a sudden I had to really look at, like, how do I experience reciprocity in my life? How do I hold a bigger space for wind work? What happens if I expand? What happens if I add water? You know, what needs to change in order to embrace success? And then the final question from this card came over here, and it's, how do I water the seeds of my becoming? So can you see where that's way different than saying, I want to have a best-selling book and I want a tribe of 1,000 or whatever that is, to say, like, how do I water the seeds? So when I'm watering the seeds, I'm in right relationship with Wyra Mama, where there's give and take, where there's, you know, this ebb and flow of what that looks like. And in the process of holding this vision in this part of the compass, what I got to see for myself was that as much as I dream or believe about, you know, all of these things, that I could take my success so far, but there was a space there in a place in me that wasn't holding a big enough space to grow. It for whatever the reason could be, it could be like, oh, I think that I'm not going to be a good boss and I'm going to have to hire people. You know, one of the things I've realized through this work is that I can tend to isolate, all of these things. But, you know, what does it have to look like? If you hold a big space with, you know, say for Sandra Ingerman, who has thousands and thousands of students, what does that spaciousness have to look like in your life to hold it? And so this was Northeast. So it was like, what is the spiritual belief that I have, you know, that tells me that I want this, but I'm not that spiritual master yet. And trust me, I've been growing a lot over the last couple of years, but I could see through this work where I still wasn't holding a space that allowed, there was still a part of me holding back on the spaciousness. I guess that's the best way to put it. So then when we get to the Southwest, we have Amun-Unet, the Egyptian wind of obscurity, holding space here. So what's hidden? You know, for me, this whole thing about what was hidden was like, what can I see during my own transformation? What parts of my, what needs to shift? And one of the things that I realized that really needed to shift through all of these other places, these other words and stuff, was my boundaries. You know, if you're holding, there's a difference between, you know, holding boundaries and holding space. Well, the more you can trust in your boundaries, you don't have to hold such rigid boundaries. And this all keeps feeding into my last one. And so all of these other things are areas that I can work with this year. We're going to work with them. We're going to move them from the vision map into the energetics in our next set of homeworks. So then we wanted to fill out our form. See, this is the new form I'm working on. Isn't it pretty? I just needed to know the right process for this. So we've got a new form. I'll be sending it all out. And then you can fill out that form, because this would be your wind worksheet for the year. And so then we were asked to do a ceremony with those other quadrants. And, you know, that means burn them, put them in the earth, or however you felt like. But somebody suggested maybe shredding them and putting them into a pillow on their altar. But this is those questions, as you see, they moved around the compass. They are no longer as relevant, because their sole purpose was getting me to a final question, final work for this year. Because what happens is, the reason we dismember this vision board is because we all think we can eat the whole elephant, but you have to eat it one bite at a time. So this whole wind work is about, how do I want to be this year? Not what do I want to do, but how do I want to be in absolutely everything that I do? And when you get to do that, then the other parts of your life really start to open up. So what we're going to do with, we're going to work with this final quadrant. And for me, it's the Southeast, which I just have to say is really funny, because if anyone was on the spring equinox call, what did we pull? I was talking about the East, and it all came about how did I feel about a certain belief? And sure enough, didn't I get right back here to this final quadrant being in the Southeast? And it's about, for me, it's a kind of a private question, but I'll share it with you. It's about, what do I have to believe? What beliefs will change if I feel safe? So and I know there's other people here. So for me, a lot of this had to do with my own safety and what beliefs have to change if I held that I was safe no matter what. And so that's this work. And for those of you who are sitting on the same precipice, it's scary work to believe that you are safe when you grew up or had situations in your life that showed you over and over and over again that it wasn't safe, that it's just not safe. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, how can I hold a bigger vision in the world if there's this nut or this part of me that does not feel safe? And so my work this year is to move into a place of, I am safe here, I'm safe here, I'm safe here, and see what beliefs have to change in order to hold that idea. Are you with me? I think this would be a great time for questions before we move on. Just know, if you ask a question, it's going to be on the recording. Raise your hand if you have a question or you want to just type it in. Anyone have a question? Anyone want to share a question? No questions? Okay. Good. I'm glad this is really helpful. If I did it before you started to do it, then it would influence how you were going to do it. So that's why I realized that this is the perfect timing for this. And I'm happy to flip this over and show you what the real question was. And I got to the question with the help of a friend. All right. Now, so this dynamic wind of creativity, or wind dynamic of creativity, I haven't quite got the right ring to what this is the juice of this course. I mean, those questions, I mean, there's so much juice in this course, but this is really the juice. This is the part where you're going to take a look and see how you've gone about creating your vision compass. And I'm asking you to start at the beginning. So when you started to read the directions, how did you read the directions? When you started the process of this, how did you go about it? Did you, pick one magazine a night? Did you get all your magazines? Did you get all your pictures? Or how did you really go about creating this vision compass? And then how did you go about the process of deconstruction? Were you trying to follow my orders to the T? Did you go a little more intuitively? Did you just turn it over and chop it without a second thought? I know a lot of times that in other courses, people have been really reticent about taking any aspect of their vision compass and putting it into a fire and being done with it. So are you one who was holding on to these, you know, you got these great ideas. How are you holding on to them and taking them, you know, into your final thing? Well, no, you're not going to, but how is it? Is it like, you know, ripping a blanket from your baby? I mean, how does this feel to you when I say, hey, toss that into a ceremony, throw it in the fire, boom, moving on to the next piece. And then how do you feel about, you know, having one piece left that you're going to work with for the year, especially for those who would like to overcreate? How am I going to just hone into this one thing? What's this going to show me? The other thing is, you know, did you share in the group or didn't you? It's not right or wrong, but just to ask yourself these questions about this process and your work. Now, there's some people who aren't even participating in the group at all. And that's fine too, because as this work goes, you might be listening to this 6 months from now, and you know that you don't even have the luxury of the group, although you can come over and we're there and we're happy to help with it. So there's, right now I'm working with five different dynamic winds of creativity: the chaos, the gestation, the oppositional forces, and the partnership with nature, and the process order. And I'm going to go through them and talk about how you might have handled this process if you were in those particular dynamics. And you can start to see which one you work with most comfortably to create. So the chaos creator is somebody who just pulled the magazines out from the wind. They weren't really thinking about what they were going to put on there. They were going for an intuitive color, or something came through. Oh, this word feels like it fits. And they just become the midwife from this unknown womb into to find some order. And the order could be when you glue it all down onto the board, or when you chop it up, you know, you give it a spin around and you create order after the chaos of it all. And then and these type of people are, the process might seem like a worthless bore. You know, like, why bother giving me instructions? They're not very clear anyway, when all of this is just being fed to me from the universe. And so this type of creation is really good, but, you know, it could have led somebody to stagnation or not even completing this process once they had it all, you know, in some kind of order. It might not have been as much fun as it was in actually putting the whole pieces together. All right. So the gestation people. Now, these people really like to sit with the process. They might still be sitting with the first instructions because they want to make sure that they don't make a mistake. You know, that they might put something on this vision map that might not serve them well. So in this holding space, what would happen is, in this dark and silent place, the ideas might emerge, but then they might come out too quickly and it wouldn't have been looking like what they wanted, or they're still holding these ideas waiting, and the creative impetus, the group structure, all of this could pass them by. And then they would have a stillbirth and never quite get to this process. That person might still be thinking about where they're going to cut the board. They might be waiting until I give today's instructions to do the cutting. You know, and so that, you know, that they've got a plan and they don't want this process to interfere with it. And it may be at the loss of a real shift this year. Or they could have just rushed through it and then they kind of missed out on that part too. But if they could take this information, you can save it. Then there's the people who thrive best with oppositional forces. It's the opposition that evokes the creativity. The movement of energy, which forces you to find a solution. Last year, we had somebody in this program who created opposition to each and every step of the process on the wall, creating tension in the group, always putting somebody else's teaching on the wall, just because they couldn't stay with this process, so they had to create opposition to this process in order to get to their where they were going. And they stayed and they moved through this. And then I've watched a little bit from where they are this year, and they seem to be moving forward. Although if one doesn't bite into that opposition, they'll look for a new place to fight. They'll look for another place to butt heads. And it's a distraction method. So whereas you might be sitting down to do your vision map, you might create a fight with your husband or your spouse or your partner, just so that you can have the impetus either to move forward or not move at all. Now, the partnership with nature. So this could be considered how when I went and took wind walks with my boards, and the inspiration comes from the patterns of nature itself. This person probably took each and every step of the dance by going into nature first, doing this really sacred dance before they moved through this process. Now, one of the drawbacks of this particular thing for this particular project or creating in your life is that this person gets more excited about nurturing the seeds than the actual outcome of the project. So that when you're doing your spring planting, you're more concerned with, how the rows are and all of this. And so the outcome may never be what you want it to be, but your rows are perfectly growing in the garden. And the process order person is, and I think we were making fun of somebody on the wall the other day, only in a loving way, was that this person could want to put process in order to this process. Whereas I might be more of a, oh, well, that's an interesting idea that just came in. I think I'll shift with that. This type of person would try to put process to not only how they create their own vision map, but how the whole process is going in the group. And so this has been one of the a growth dynamic for me, is because in trying to understand the process order type of person, which I can do when it comes to a catering, making sure that the worksheets are thorough enough, so they're clear enough, so that they're all of these things, so that the process order person can feel comfortable doing the process. And, so these people, are the kind who aren't so willing to take and toss this vision map into some unknown, energy realm of fire or water or grounding or whatever, because it's part of this nice, neat, orderly process that they've created, and it's an art piece in itself. Can you see where this could have impacted how you created? And what you're going to do now is you're going to actually look at each step of the dance to see how you what the wind dynamic that you use primarily in the process. And what we've learned over the last few years is that there isn't necessarily just one. And there's different projects that have different processes, like where if I'm doing a cooking thing, I may cook with chaos, but I tend to use the process order as a secondary backup, or if I'm doing the catering, because I certainly need to package everything. So that there, but there's one primary one that you could start to recognize that you use in your life a lot. And then you could start to look at how this works in relationship to your family, your partnerships, your work environment, and the new projects that you want to create this year. And you can start to see where, you know, where if something gets too ordered for you, if you're a chaos creator, then you're ready to check out instead of maybe waiting for that next divine inspiration. Or if you're a process order person, how that chaos can toss you off. But there's so much to learn in each of them. The nature of the same thing. So that the downbursts of energy, and the fall class is way deeper into these process order, these wind dynamics. But we really touch on it here as we start to work with how we're going to create for this year, how we're going to move forward to achieve some of our goals, to move forward in our life and to obtain, you know, whatever it is we want to attain, because we all want different things. So does anyone have questions about this? Because I know this is a little bit more advanced work, which I haven't brought in yet. And I'm just wondering how you are all doing with it. Any questions? I can unmute you. Anyone? All right. Well, if you have questions, you can ask me later. And I will send out, I have some, a little bit more detail on these. I can send you the worksheet on the dynamics. So where do we go now? Now we've built a map that we wanted for this year. And then all of a sudden I said, no, you only get one section of that this year. Although if you go through the process, you're going to have a fully charged up, fully inspired quadrant. What I thought what we would do next, and I want to do this as a group, is maybe I'll come, I'm going to tell you what the homework is and we'll come back to this. So that way you'll know, we're going to call in a win for the year. And if you're ready and you've got your cards ready, you can get your cards, because we'll come back to this. We'll do a wind whistling and we'll call to the win that you're going to work with for that final quadrant for the year. That doesn't mean that's the only win you're going to work with, but you know, we're going to send back the other wins and we're going to call to one that we can work with this, armed with this new information about this dynamic. So we're going to have our question, we're going to have our dynamic, and we're going to have our quadrant. So we're going to know, so mine's what? In the southeast. So it looks like that I'm going to be starting something new this year, and it's going to create some emotional brouhaha for me, like that there's, my emotions are going to have to get in line with my new ideas of how I want to be in the world to hold a larger space for the wind work. And then we're going to do a journey and see if we're asking the right question. I would wait until I got to that quadrant to pull a card. So you can just work with the one that I call in for today. You know, if you've already called in a win for this quadrant, that one, if it feels right, it could be the quadrant that you're going, the win you're going to work with for this year. In fact, it shows up that way so many times for me. This week I pulled MUNET for me, I pulled it for the collective, and then I was doing a radio interview, and guess what card I pulled again? You'd think there was only one card in here. And what's crazy, crazy funny is when I pulled it up on the website, because I usually share the win on the website, I realized that I hadn't pulled Amunet since 2017. So it makes sense that is, you know, that is a very primary win for me with this year, or this, that definitely the work that got me to this. So your work, once we get here, is going to be to ask the final quadrant these questions. What if I can make this work? What steps must I take to make this happen? What do I choose to do? What if it doesn't work? And am I asking the right questions of this work? And so then what we're going to do is part of this is, this is in this introspective journey you're going to do. You can ask these questions. Then make a new altar for the final working quadrant. As you see, I put it on my altar, but I plan on making a new altar for this particular quadrant. And it's because it's going to be something I'm going to work with for the year. So you can make a new altar for it. And then you're going to go out in nature and you're going to create a mandala in the earth to represent the whole entire moving process of all the quadrants, all of the medicines, all the gifts, all the questions you just got. And then you're going to leave room in your mandala. And if it's someplace where that you can work with it over the course of the year, you can keep it moving so that as you get more information, you can move parts around in your outdoor mandala if you want to reflect it in your indoor altar. But they're going to feed each other and they're going to let the winds dance between them and do this work for you. And one of the things that you can see, and for the people who have been doing this wind work now for 1-2 years, that things are just lining up for them. Their sails, they're adjusting that sail and the wind is powering them. And that doesn't mean the wind can take you where you're not ready to go. And that's what this process is all about. Like if you asked me a year ago, if I was ready to throw my trust into the wind and my safety net into the wind, I might not have been. But working this in a very methodical way, then I can move forward. Let me see. There is a question. Okay. Well, two questions here. So you can. That's up to you. If you feel really comfortable about the win that you've called for this fourth quadrant, stick with it, and we'll just use that right now. And so, if there's, you can find some place outside in nature that you visit on occasion to make yourself to do this outdoor work. It could be on a path in nature that you go onto. It could be in a park, and it could be around the base of a tree that you visit often. It does not need to be in your own backyard. If you have a backyard, that's fine. If you don't have a backyard, the whole point of wind work is to get us realigned out in nature as well. So find a place where you can, go out if it needs, and if it gets altered, that you still have that kind of connection, or a tree or some way where you have a moving, an altar that can reflect back to you where you're at. Yeah, so you can visit a space and tend to it. All right. And then, so the goal of this fourth quadrant is to figure out what's the most useful question I can ask that will help me unlock new beliefs and ideas that I am not seeing at this very moment, and to come up with a theme word for the year. All right, we're going to go back now, and we're going to go back to this. We're going to finish today with this wind whistling. And we're going to call upon a wind spirit to honor this final quadrant. Now, again, if you already have one, then when I do the wind breath, when I do the wind breathing before we go on the journey, we're going to call to that wind. So the first wind connects you to the earth. The second wind you call into the wind spirit you're working with. And the third wind is you ask the wind spirit to hold space for this becoming this year, for this whole becoming that you're in, that you're protected with, that you're cared about, that you feel like the wind has your back. because I think I've said it a number of times. Once I started to meet these winds, there was no doubt in my mind that I know that the wind has my back. It doesn't mean it's smooth sailing all the time, because who gets that? But I know that I haven't had to seek. I don't seek any longer. You know, I have my aggravations, but it's not about seeking, because I feel held. So the goal of this is to work with the wind and get to know it so intimately this year that you can be inspired by this wind, and you know that this wind has your back each and every day as you move through this year. Are we ready? All right, let me take some water. And we're gonna do a journey. And the journey is gonna be into the center of your compass to find out what other information is there for you. And I'm not really gonna do a lot of talking just to get you in there, but to see what's, you know, the inside, that fifth hole of that compass in the center is where spirit is. And that's for all of the other parts of this or something better. So the wind that I pulled for this year that I'm going to work with is Nord. It's the Norse wind of prosperity. And it's about growing, thriving, and celebrating, which actually fits really clearly if you see with what I told you all the way was like, how do I hold this? How do I grow? How do I expand? And so I think that this is going to be a awesome year for this for me. And I'm sure Nord will show me that. All right, so let's get ourselves centered. And then I'm going to call to Nord, and if you call to the wind that you've called, or if you just want to come along and ask maybe to have the wind revealed to you that you're going to work with this year. Either way, it's going to work. And then we're going to create an energy popo that includes me and the wind and my vision compass. Make yourself comfortable. Close your eyes. Lie down if you want. Or sit up with your back straight. And imagine yourself working on your vision compass. And you've already cut it out and it's brown. And follow the spokes to the center. And there's a hole there. This is the hole that you can go down into the earth that connects you. And it's the same hole that has a channel up to spirit that connects you to the divine source, the divine winds, and slip into this hole And you can decide whether or not you're going to go up or whether you're going to go down. And as your journey, ask yourself, what is my dynamic? How do I create? Is there a question that I don't know, that I can't see, that hasn't been revealed to me? And then look out into each direction of your compass, the cardinal winds, the intercardinal winds, and see where those lines lead. I'm going to start in the east. And when I look out as far as I can from the center of my compass east, what do I know? What do I believe? What are my memories, past, present, and future, that can help me this year with this work? And then I move around the compass, heading south. What am I learning on this journey? And in the south, what needs and desires do I have for this year? What can my vision compass teach me about what I need and what I desire? How can the wind help me? Moving towards the west. What physical changes, what deaths, what endings will these winds show me? What do I need to leave behind this year? What will I harvest? And head north. What do I know? How can this wind help me? How do I involve the community? How am I rewarded? And remember, you're in the center of this compass. Ask, what shift How do I have to change my course? Do I have to change my course? What if I change my course? What direction shall I look out at first? Ask, what is my theme for this year? What is the theme word? And when you're ready, come back out from the center of your compass. Find yourself back in the room. And take a minute. And the information you might want to jot down, and you might want to view some of what you experienced in this journey in the outdoor mandala that you're going to create. And if you really don't think that there's somewhere in nature you can go, you can maybe get a potted plant on your windowsill. But I know we all have our favorite places in nature, so I would really strongly encourage us to find some place where we can feel safe and trust that our mandala will be safe. And then I'm going to stop the recording and see, and then I'll see if people have questions.